Good Health programme is now in its 9th year on air. Much of that is thanks to the long-term support of sponsors such as Foster Tuncurry Physio, Foster Private Hospital, Manning Support Services, Anglican Care and Banks and Dade. If you provide a health-related service and would like to reach an audience targeted to your specific needs, please speak to our sales team today, 6555 8433.
Listeners are advised that the information in the following program is of a general nature only. Professional guidance should always be sought for any health concerns.
Good morning and welcome to Good Health, where each week we explore the things we can all do to stay well, stay healthy and enjoy life to the full. My name is John Healy. Now, do your gums bleed when you brush your teeth? If so, you might be amongst one of the 3 in 10 Australians with gum disease. The good news is it's entirely preventable. So joining me today to discuss gum disease, its causes and prevention, I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Fleur Creeper, who is a periodontist. Good morning and welcome, Fleur.
Morning, John.
Thank you very much for taking the time out to speak to us this morning. It's pretty early your time because we're still, you're over in WA, so it's currently about 9:15 over there, but we'll get to that in a moment. Now, as we are talking about teeth care, I might get you to begin by defining just what a periodontist is and what do you do?
So we're dental specialists, so we've done our dentistry degree.
Yep.
And then we go on to do further training, so usually 3 or 4 years at university.
Yep.
So after working as a dentist for a few years. So we focus on the specialist treatment of gum disease mostly and yep. other conditions affecting the soft and hard tissues of the mouth that support the teeth. So everything around and under the teeth,
yep.
but not the teeth.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Great. Now, so tell us, what is gum disease and what are the main types of disease we're talking about here?
So the main types of gum disease can fall into two categories in most cases. The first is gingivitis. So that's where the disease affects the top layer of the gum. So around each tooth, we have a little collar of gum. So when you look in the mirror, you know, when you're cleaning your teeth,
mm-hmm.
you can see the pink scalloped kind of, you know, semicircular shaped around the teeth.
Yep.
That top bit of the gum is the mildest form of gum disease where it affects that little tiny collar.
Okay.
It becomes a little bit red, swollen, and that's when it can bleed easily.
Right.
At this stage, there's usually no discomfort, no pain, nothing at all at that mm-hmm. stage. Luckily, at mm-hmm. that stage, it's reversible, though. All we need to do is just brush a little bit better, more thoroughly in that area,
yep.
and it will go away.
Excellent. And the other?
So the other more advanced stage is periodontitis.
Right.
Pyorrhea, it used to be called, gum disease, that sort of thing.
Okay.
It's when gingivitis can then progress. So with time, the plaque or bacteria in our mouth build up around that top layer of the mm-hmm. gum, the collar, and then it progresses. The gums become a little bit more red and inflamed, and then they start to pull away from the teeth. They can sort of shrink down so they can recede.
Yep.
Sometimes they don't recede. They stay up, even though inside and underneath the ligament and the bone surrounding the teeth shrinks down. So with the ligament and the bone shrinking down and or the gum shrinking down, that's when the teeth can become loose or move, gums become a bit more inflamed and red, and then it can eventually lead to tooth loss.
Okay. Now, apart from those immediate consequences, what are the risks and implications of ignoring gum disease for our oral health and also for our general health?
So obviously you've just got the ones in the mouth, so, you know, bad breath, bleeding gums, mm-hmm. loose teeth. Teeth can start to move and drift, so people might notice bigger gaps between their teeth, maybe gaps where there wasn't gaps.
Yep.
So food might get stuck. You might find that food is getting stuck more often and, you know, being a bit annoying. Teeth can get loose, and then eventually, obviously, they can fall out. That's kind of a rare last mm-hmm. complication. Most people usually seek treatment before that. And obviously that impacts, you know, how you look, how you feel, how you can eat, you know, may, you know, then obviously impact on your quality of life, which is important. But then also it can affect your general health. So gum disease is linked with general health. We know that.
Yep.
So things like diabetes. So diabetes okay. is a big link. So people with diabetes are more likely to have gum disease because they're probably more prone to infection. But also diabetes can affect the gum disease. It can make it worse. So it's kind of a, what we call a bidirectional, where one affects the other and the other affects that one. So also heart disease. So we know that it's associated with heart disease. People with gum disease might be more prone to having heart problems, and heart problems can also upset the gums. Other things like respiratory disease, pneumonias and things like that, some types of cancer, Alzheimer's. So, you know, the links go back and forth. So, you know, gum
disease. We don't need to dig down totally, but it is, I think what I think it's important from that is the importance of not ignoring this. If you've seen the early signs, as I mentioned in the intro, if that gums are bleeding when brushing teeth, is just an early warning sign. But what other telltale signs would suggest that all was not well with my teeth and my gums?
So definitely the bleeding gums. But a lot of people, once they notice bleeding gums, tend to shy away from brushing the gums, so they may not notice the bleeding gums anymore. They think it might have gone away, or, you know, that maybe the common thing that people think is just, I've brushed a little bit too hard and I've hurt the gums. Healthy gums really shouldn't bleed at all. So if we're just using a regular soft manual toothbrush or an electric brush from the supermarket, healthy gums shouldn't bleed. So if they're bleeding, that's a sign, hey, I need more help. Obviously, receding gums. So if your gums start to look like they're shrinking down, or the teeth getting longer, that expression, long in the tooth. Healthy gums shouldn't recede.
Right.
So if they are shrinking away, that's a sign that something's going on.
So just on that one, now, does that mean that it isn't natural for gums to recede as people get older?
No, if the gum is healthy, it should stay put.
Okay, right. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Now, you did mention one other thing. I think I just like to come back to the other thing is, and this is very important for people who perhaps have partners in their lives, and the impact of gum disease is one of the other early signs, apart from the bleeding, which you might choose ill-advisedly to ignore, is bad breath.
Yeah, I mean, not very nice. People might be a little bit shy in telling you. But yeah, bad breath, because the gums form what we call pockets, so where the gum is, where the gum doesn't recede and the gum starts to pull away from the tooth.
Yep.
On the inside, there's like what we call a pocket. So it literally is like a pocket in your shirt. And bacteria, dead bacteria, all their toxins, the body, the waste of the bacteria collect in there. And after a while, it gets a bit stinky. So, you know.
Yeah.
That sitting in your mouth.
Yeah.
Not very nice.
All good reasons to pay attention. Right. Now, before we do go to a break, just one quick question for you. Are certain people more at risk than others? You did touch on people with diabetes a moment or two ago.
Diabetes is a big group. Yep. So us periodontists say that diabetes is a really big issue for us. And it's probably one of the complications of diabetes that doesn't get talked about. Yeah. So we know that fingers and toes, eyes, gums. So gums have tiny blood vessels, so similar to the eyes and the fingers and toes, so diabetes affects the gums.
Right.
People that smoke, smoking is a big thing for us. So people that smoke are at significant risk, so it accelerates the development of periodontal disease and how it progresses, so it sort of speeds it up. So smoking is one of the biggest things for us. Yeah,
okay.
So if people are smoking, cutting down or giving up is the best thing they can do.
Indeed. We'll endorse that one.
Some people genetically are susceptible. So if your parents had gum disease, so if your parents lost their teeth to gum disease, or, you know, family members, so that means that you may be at risk. Things like stress. Obviously, stress we know is not good for anything, including the gums. Medication, some drugs can affect the gum. So there's some types of blood pressure medications and other sorts of drugs that can affect the gums. And obviously general other systemic diseases. So if you've got other chronic diseases, you know, such as rheumatoid arthritis, cardiovascular disease, it may mean that you're at risk of gum disease.
Right. There's a few things there you've touched on that. No, I'm not sure we'll be able to get back to.
Yeah, the body's a puzzle.
Yeah, I hadn't been aware. But what it reinforces to me is the importance, perhaps, when you do go, and hopefully we're encouraging everybody to go at least once a year and talk to their dentist, discuss your other health conditions with them and medications you may be taking, because it can have an impact, as you just outlined there, on your gum health and oral health in general. Now, do you mind just holding on there for a moment, Fleur, and we'll take a quick break. We'll be about a minute and back to you in a jiff, okay?
Sure, great.
Thank you.
Love to.
Welcome back to our discussion of oral health and gum disease. Now, Fleur, how best can we then prevent gum disease? Now, I know this is a little bit more difficult because we're on radio, but can I ask you to describe the right way people should brush their teeth? Let's start off with the traditional handheld toothbrush.
The biggest thing is we just got to do it. So we know that from surveys of Australian populations, we're just not brushing enough. Yep. So most people don't brush twice a day. So that's a good step. So just a simple toothbrush, small, yep, soft is best.
Yep.
Halfway on the teeth, halfway on the gums. Technically, it should be at a 45 degree angle up to the gums or down to the gums, depending on if you're in the top jaw or the bottom jaw.
Yeah.
But just keep it simple. Just half on the tooth, half on the gums. Think about it as a little massage for your gums. So you want to clean our teeth, but also clean our gums as well. So
up and down movement or a slightly circular movement?
They say slightly circular with a little jiggle.
Okay, yeah. Let's keep it simple. I'm with you.
Get on the gums.
Simple works best.
Soft, yeah.
Now, what about those powered toothbrushes that, as you mentioned, we can get in most supermarkets these days? Yes. Are they better, worse,
better,
and are there right or wrong ways to use those as well?
If we're not using them right, they're not going to do a better job. So, right. But the good thing about most of the powered ones, if it's a small round head, that's going to do a better job. Small is better because you can get into all the difficult areas in the back and the nooks and crannies on the tongue side. And you do one tooth at a time. Take it slow. Hold it on with the powered brush. You just hold it there so you don't actually move your arm. So you just hold the brush on the tooth and the gum and let the brush do the rotation for you.
That's good, isn't it?
It's not going to speed it up. It's not going to be a shortcut. It should take about 2 minutes, which actually, if you time yourself, is quite a long time.
All right. Now, on that matter, because I do now have gone to that small little roundy thing, and I must admit, I'm still moving it, so I've learned something this morning already.
Yeah.
So now
Okay.
The work. I suspect that most of us think a quick scrub front and back is all that's required, but would you like to talk about the importance of interdental clean? That's the gaps between our teeth, and they're various methods and devices that support that.
So with our cleaning, we've just got to think about there's five surfaces of each tooth. So there's the surface that you're biting on, and then the cheek side, and then the tongue side or the palate side, and then you've got the in-between. So by brushing, we're just missing those in-betweens. We're not getting, you know, two out of the five surfaces. So cleaning between your teeth is just as important.
Yep.
So traditionally, everyone was told to floss, floss, floss. Flossing is difficult, so there's new little devices that can actually hold the floss holders or the picks.
Yep.
They've got kind of like a bow with the floss on it.
Got that.
They're better.
Yep.
You can get different types of those, so they can actually hold the floss for you, and so you don't have to put your fingers in your mouth at the back. So they're good. I'm a big fan of interdental brushes. They're just like a toothpick, but it's actually a little bottle brush that you just poke between your teeth. They come in all different sizes, so there's little tiny ones up to almost bottle brush style sizes, depending on what size gaps you have.
Yep.
But they're fantastic and they're so much easier to use, and you just do them once a day.
Yep.
So it doesn't have to be when you brush, doesn't have to be last thing at night before you go to bed. Just do it. Do it any time in the day. Just do it.
I'm with you on that. I love those. Now, what about mouthwashes? Is that a good idea or not? There was a lot of controversy not too many years ago about mouthwashes because they had alcohol in them and it was causing damage, I believe. I can't remember the full details of it, but perhaps you could fill us in and give us your view.
Yeah, we're still not sure. There's definitely a link between oral cancer and mouthwashes. Mm-hmm. We're not sure. It's still question mark. So, but mouthwashes generally I'm not a big fan of. In addition to brushing and flossing, there might be some tiny benefit, but for the cost and the possible risks, in certain circumstances they might be beneficial. So if there's a certain reason why you can't brush, maybe you've had some surgery or you've had a tooth out, or if there's some reason why you physically can't brush, maybe you've hurt your wrist or your arm, you can't, you know, hold a toothbrush. Generally, I don't recommend them.
Yep.
In certain circumstances, dentists might suggest that, not so much for gum disease, but, you know, if you've got a lot of decay or if you're at risk of decay, then a fluoride mouthwash may be beneficial. But generally, for gingivitis and gum disease, not an everyday thing. Better off spending the time and money on your interdental brushes.
Gotcha. And I love your technical description. I'm with that one. That's my view of those as well.
Now, I can go into scientific evidence, but it's probably not very.
Can we talk a little about the link between diet and oral health, in particular the connection between sugary drinks and childhood dental decay?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, that old saying, you are what you eat, is so true. So obviously, for our bodies to be healthy, we need to have a good diet, and the same with our mouth. Our mouth is just one piece of our body. So like I said before, it's a puzzle. We need everything to work together, fit together properly. So yeah, sugary drinks are, sugary drinks in particular, but sugary foods are a big issue. So tooth decay is the most common health condition in the worldwide population. Yeah. So it's a big issue, and in children it's a huge issue as well. So it's totally preventable.
Yep.
Sugars are not needed by the body, and especially nowadays when everything has added sugars. So you know, honey, syrups, fruit juices, all those different names for sugars.
Yep. No, it's all sugar, and it all builds up, and when you add in the other manufactured sugars, then you're just
sugars, we call them,
layering it on and layering on. Now, I've just one thing on that before we go to a quick break. I've heard a lot of people say over the years, oh, well, it's not such a big issue when it's their baby teeth, because they're going to get rid of them anyway. But aren't we creating hugely bad habits for later if kids are allowed to consume those drinks and not worry about their teeth?
Yeah. So obviously, children, when you're a child, that's when your habits are forming. Mm-hmm. So, you know, snacking between meals on sugary drinks or food, even biscuits and crackers and things have all got sugar these days.
Yep.
So constant low dose exposure to sugar is just not good. Having the teeth bathed in sugar, it's just there for that bacteria to use. And what actually causes the cavity is the bacteria use that sugar to grow and have energy, but it's their byproduct, the acid, which then eats away at the tooth, which causes the decay. So, so if we don't have that sugar and we don't have the bacteria, then we don't have a problem.
And wash them, brush them, clean them.
Get rid of the bacteria.
We're going to get you to hold on there for tick again, if you wouldn't mind, and we'll be back in just a moment. And welcome back to our discussion on oral health and gum disease with my guest, Dr. Fleur Creeper. Now, Fleur, maybe we can try to wrap things up by inviting you to talk a little bit about the benefits of regular checkups with the dentist.
So obviously, regular checkups, like anything, get it. Prevention is the best. Mm-hmm. And if there is a problem, get it while it's early. If it's small and early, then it's usually reversible or needs minimal treatment, which obviously is good financially. You know, it's good for your health. So regular checkups are the way to go. Like your car, you know, you just service it regularly, get problems when they're small before they become a major issue.
Yes, indeed. Indeed, indeed. And, of course, the dentist, if there has been a bit of failure to do all the things we've talked about so far, and there is a build-up of plaque, the dentist can remove most of that plaque quite painlessly, a bit discomfort, definitely. But not a problem.
It's great. It's great when it's done.
It does indeed. I'm with you on that one. Now, finally,
there's less to get off, then it's obviously better.
Now, when we first approached you and tried to set this meeting, which unfortunately was a little bit while back, you had the Australian Dental Association had just held a Dental Health Week. Can I invite you, in the time that remains with us, to talk to us a little about the Australian Dental Association and its aims?
Yeah, so the Australian Dental Association, we have a major oral health campaign every year. It takes place in the first week of August. This year it was the 1st to the 7th. Mm-hmm. So it just focuses on the importance of taking care of your teeth and gums to help you keep your teeth and smile for life. So, you know, we say that it shouldn't be normal to expect that you have teeth removed because of gum disease and tooth decay. So, I mean, you don't expect to lose an arm or a leg in your lifetime. So why should you expect to lose your teeth? So, and it just has four main messages. So brush twice a day with a fluoride toothpaste, clean between your teeth, so floss or interdental brushes, just eating a healthy, balanced diet, limiting your sugar, and just visit regularly. So whether that's once a year, twice a year, your dentist will be able to determine what interval you need. But check in with your dentist, you know, get to know them, get them to know you and your health.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. It's best not to shop around, but to stick with a dentist, find one that you like and you're comfortable with, and build that relationship, because they get to know your teeth and they'll be the first to detect if anything is amiss.
Mm, and he'll just watch things, you know, things of, you know, changing in your mouth, things that, you know, just maybe subtle changes, and then they may just decide to watch them. So, you know, getting that relationship is really important. Find someone you're comfortable with. Get to know them.
Excellent. Fleur, thanks very much for taking the time to speak with us today. We will let you
get
back to your practice. I'm sure you've got patients waiting at your end over there. But I hope that what we managed to do is give listeners an idea of just how easy, most importantly, but also how important it is to keep your teeth and your gums in good health.
Yeah, so, take some steps tonight. So get that toothbrush and,
excellent,
you know, get that interdental brush going.
I can have a lie down while I'm doing it now. I don't have to move my arm around. And
yeah, exactly.
Give me that tip. Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
And, of course, my guest today has been Dr. Fleur Creeper, who is a periodontist based over in WA. Now, if you'd like to know more about how to keep your teeth and gums in good health, all you have to do is go to teeth.org.au. Simple as that. Or talk to your local dentist. Now, if you missed part or all of today's show, you can, of course, listen to this discussion at any time on Facebook. All you have to do is look for Good Health, where you can also catch up with a selection of earlier interviews. So I do hope you'll join me next time when I hope to be talking about shingles and other common skin conditions, although that may change because I'm trying to track down somebody else because my original speaker is not able to join us next week. But in either way, we'll have something for you. And until then, thank you for listening. And of course, good health.